A reading from Mark 10:17-21. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your mother and father." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me."
I want to focus on this last command that Jesus gives here. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything, and you will give and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." This is one of my favorite passages in all of the Gospels. It really resonates with me. But I have sat in innumerable Bible studies and listen to misinterpretations of this. And it scares people because no matter how spiritually we say we are, we live in a world of things and material things, and it's quite frightening for men and women to think that they need to give up all of the things they surround themselves and comfort them to follow Jesus, and they make a theology out of that, which is actually not what Jesus is saying here exactly. He's speaking specifically to this young man because it is his wealth that separates him from Jesus. It's his love of wealth that separates him from Jesus. His love of money that separates him from Jesus.
Yeah, there are many movements that set up in a kind of knee-jerk reaction to this declaration that everyone must sell everything and then follow Jesus. And
right.
The point here being is that Jesus recognizes what is the idol in this young man's life, what is the block to keep him from having full allegiance. Jesus' command to his disciples from the beginning was, come follow me. In following, there's a leaving of something. You're making a turnabout. That word repentance is literally in the Greek to turn. And when you go to follow Jesus, there's a leaving behind of the things that keep you attached to this world, things that are a false comfort, that are fulfilling a need that God was intended to fulfill. And so Jesus recognizes this is this young man's problem, and so he calls him to do that. He's not saying that for everyone. The hard part then is, so what is Jesus calling the rest of us to give up? To be honest with you, it would be very easy for me to sell everything and go and follow Jesus. So that really wouldn't be much of a sacrifice. That's not my struggle. But there may be another struggle in my life that Jesus is saying, okay, you're going to need to give this up if you're going to find true discipleship in me.
Yes, all you have to do is go back to the earliest instances where Jesus starts collecting his followers. One of them is Peter, and Peter is not a rich man. He's a working man. He's working by the sea. He's a fisherman. And Jesus says, I'm going to make you fishers of men rather than fishers of fish. So that just kind of confirms what you're saying, that there is a wider issue going on. There's a very specific issue going on here, but it has general application. That whole idea of turning, how do you pronounce it? Metanoia? The Greek word is, yep, to turn. And it is essential for all of us because we're all walking the path of comfort. And it's not that Jesus is taking us to an uncomfortable place. He's taking us to a better path, to a better way, to a better life.
He's taking us to an abandoned place. We're abandoning our control and will for what he wants. And so maybe it's not wealth for me or money, but it's maybe control, maybe the image of my family. It may be the comfort of good health. It may be a lot of things that I've put confidence in. And Jesus says, I want you to have complete confidence in me.